A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Hour 2 of Gallant George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So Kent Rosenthal with The Athletic had an article today. Why the Astros' path to an eighth straight ALCS appears increasingly problematic. I thought it was a good article. For the most part, I would say, Paul, his points were pretty fair. There's some stuff I disagree with him on about, you know, what the Astros did this offseason and how it's going to affect them going forward. But overall, the concerns are there. Because first of all, it just, even though we are living in the moment where they've gone to an ALCS seven straight times, it still feels like bizarre to say that, because that is such a daunting task for one team to accomplish that. So at some point, it's going to end.
You're doing it again. You're doing it again.
No.
Yeah, you are.
How many times did the Patriots go to an AFC championship game in a row?
That's when the first round of the playoffs started. It was like a decade plus.
Was it?
Yes. It was insane, dude.
I know the Chiefs are in like a very similar stretch to the Astros. They're at six or seven. I think they're at six now. Straight. Like, it's not something that, it happens.
No. This is your God-given right, Joe. This is your God-given right. This is the expectations. Eight appearances in a row the Patriots did.
Wow. I mean,
three Super Bowls over that stretch.
You have the Patriots and Brady. LeBron, I'm sure, like himself, has that covered. Not exactly as a team because he bounced around so much. The Astros and the Chiefs. Like, it's something very rarely done. So I get why there are questions if it can be done again, especially with the way the season started. But
I don't get it. Expect it every year.
I mean, expect it for sure.
Expect it every year. And LeBron, by the way, it was eight consecutive.
It was eight?
I think it was eight consecutive finals appearances.
That's crazy.
That is really nuts.
And probably that's at least two teams, if not maybe a Cavs team, a Heat team, and then back to the Cavs.
It was four with the Heat, four with the Cavs. And then he went to the Lakers. And then they didn't make the finals in 19. And then they won the finals in 20.
They won a fake championship.
So it was nine finals trips in 10 years.
That's crazy. All that guy did was win. From this article, what do you think was the most fair observation that you had that Ken Rosenthal put out there?
I think signing Josh Hader, he made an interesting point. He said that it was an overreaction. Didn't go so far as to call it a mistake. And then said that Hector Neris, Ryan Stanek, and Phil Maton are making slightly more than Josh Hader will this one season. So you could have had three arms. Instead, you opted to go over the luxury tax for one. And if you're concerned about going over the luxury tax to the point where you're not going to sign Blake Snell, well, you shouldn't have signed Josh Hader. I think that was an interesting point. We'll see how Hader does over the course of the year. It is early. He could have some huge moments down the stretch for this team. But I think that's a totally fair thing to suggest, that more might have been better than one guy who's super high quality.
Yeah, I do agree with that, even though the last week, as the pitching has been a disaster at the start of games, the middle of your bullpen has been really strong. And even though Brian Abreu, I just feel shaky when he goes out there. Right now, I still believe in him, Presley, and Hader immensely. But it was an overreaction, but in a way, I hate to say I'm glad someone got hurt, but if Kendall Graveman doesn't get hurt, think about where the Astros are right now. You're talking about Kendall Graveman as your seventh inning guy with Abreu and Presley with all the other issues you have. At least with Josh Hader, the talent is at a whole other level for him. So you really do believe that he can go in and dominate a game, where I never believed that with Graveman and either of the times he was on Astros. He was a good pitcher, but he can't be as elite.
His second stint was not good.
Yeah, it was not.
I mean, when he went to the Astros the first time, yeah, there were some good moments, but he left. He was in Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. And he comes back, and yeah, I don't think he was the same pitcher. So to have just him this coming season, yeah, we would be talking about some of these same issues. But, okay, Todd the Show points out on Twitch, we'll have J.P. France and Hunter Brown in the bullpen by the end of the year. Are they going to work out there? Do you really feel that way? Do you think that those guys are going to come into games and not be messes? I've seen with Hunter Brown before that I feel like it's possible. I think we saw a couple of moments down the stretch last year. But, I mean, we all saw J.P. France in the bullpen against the Texas Rangers when they asked him to get some outs, and it turned into basically like the last time we saw J.P. France on the hill against the Rangers.
Yeah, because my biggest disagreement here is J.P. France will not be in the bullpen by the end of the year. He just won't be on the roster.
You won't be on the roster.
He'll be in the minors.
You can listen to him pitch on ESPN 92.5.
Yeah,
Space City, or for the Sugarland Space Cowboys.
I don't see bullpen stuff. I don't know how anyone sees bullpen level stuff. At least with Hunter Brown, you see the velocity. I think there's a better chance it's just Eric Geddy is in your bullpen by the end of the year, in theory, when everyone gets healthy, or Urquidy or Garcia. But I'm not sure J.P. France really fills that role. Maybe he's there as your long guy when Christian Javier can only go four innings.
New Belak.
Yeah, exactly. But you have Belak, so it's like, do you need another Belak in the bullpen? I don't know.
I think you want to do better than Belak.
Agreed.
Is France better than Belak?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I would lean no.
I don't like that I'm talking about these names at all.
I don't want to think about it. But that is the issue with how the Astros approach their bullpen. And I think that's a fair point to make, that they spend all this money on one arm when realistically, even before Graveman got hurt, but definitely after it, like, would they have been better off just splitting up that contract that they gave to Hader to three different guys? And it, instead of being a 5-year deal, there are three different 2-year deals.
Yeah, that is a not necessarily the bringing, like your point, like bringing those three guys back exactly, but
no, just finding anybody. Three guys.
Yeah, finding three arms to replace three arms probably would have made more sense.
Equivalents. Yeah.
So one of the points that he brought, you know, with that too, is the like, why would you, if you're going to go over the luxury tax, why not just get Blake Snell? The Reggie Jackson thing, it's like I just can't get out of my head. Where like Reggie Jackson says there's this committee, and they decided that they're not going to play that game. But it's been well-documented and reported that there was a certain number that the Astros were willing to go to. It was below $30 million a year. So like, that to me means they are willing to go with the luxury tax, but there's only a certain level that they wanted to, or that they valued Blake Snell at. Like, who hasn't been good?
That's what, like, I was going to say. Is that he hasn't Blake been Snell good. Thing, it's like
Jordan Montgomery and Michael Lorenzen, to Ken Rosenthal's point, do not solve your problems right now. Because they haven't pitched in 2024. Michael Lorenzen is going to make his debut for the Rangers today, I think it is, or tomorrow. Jordan Montgomery just made a rehab start on Saturday. So that, I think, it's a short-sighted of like, hey, these problems right now, these guys would have fixed it. They really wouldn't have, because they signed so late that they haven't pitched yet.
Yeah, if you're writing this article less than 20 games into the season, and you're using the Blake Snell thing. If they signed Blake Snell and he did exactly what he's done for the Giants, which is 7 innings pitched, 10 earned runs.
Yikes.
Guess what? He's going to be part of the negatives because you signed him. because you signed him to $30 million a year. And that would be, you know, the only two moves they made were Josh Hader and Blake Snell. Blake Snell, who stunk it up, and Josh Hader. That one feels like it's like playing the results almost, but you're not even playing the results of Blake Snell stunk. Like, Blake Snell would just be part of the problem if he was still up.
Yeah, you have Fromber. Yeah, you have Fromber and JV coming back. Both will start for the Astros by next Thursday, it sounds like. So that's where it balances some of that out. Now, there was another article this weekend or interview that Dana Brown gave when he talked about the depth of this team. I think as much as we give credit to Ronald Blanco for how well he's done, the Astros cannot be out there acting like that they thought this was Ronald Blanco. Like, that is not realistic to say that. Yeah, we think he was going to throw a no-hitter and be the most...
Don't underestimate Dana Brown's ability to turn a victory into a political victory. Yeah.
He won the starting job the last tune-up game of the season. Not even spring training.
So that one I push back on, like this depth that they've had, because their depth has been getting crushed. Except for Ronald Blanco. So that's where They could have added a starting pitcher. I would have liked them to add a starting pitcher. I mean, but they didn't. And part of the reason why is because
they're telling us is that they didn't want to spend more money.
Yeah, but they spent more
money on Hader.
But at the same time, if they did spend that money and the Astros have gotten what these other teams have gotten out of these guys that signed super late, so nothing from Jordan Montgomery, nothing from Michael Lorenzen, and bad two starts from Blake Snell, we would be crushing them for spending the money. So, at a certain point, the issue is that Hunter Brown has been bad, and Spencer Arrighetti, in his one start, fell apart in the third inning. And the Blair Henley thing, which is just embarrassing.
Yeah, that was a series of unfortunate events.
I swear I'm going to stop saying his name.
I doubt it. You keep saying that. you keep saying you're not going to say it. And then you keep
like Bloody Mary. He's going to come at us in the mirror and throw a baseball at her head.
He'll probably miss us.
At the end of the day, they just need these guys.
Damn.
They just need these guys
to play
better.
Joe is just bullying Blair Henley still.
I mean, look, I get bullied a lot, but I have the opportunity
to bully. You're
punching down? Yeah.
You are punching down.
When I have the opportunity to bully someone back.
Bullying a minor league pitcher.
I got to take the opportunity. Sorry, Blair.
It was funny, though.
There was two reaches in this that you wrote down here that were my biggest takeaways, too, from this article.
He talked about the depletion of the farm system, and he talked about the leadership void as things to be concerned about going forward. And he brought up Hector Neris. He brought up Martin Maldonado. I get it. Okay, look at what Jose Altuve is doing to open the year. Altuve is having literally the best season of his career in the first 2 to 3 weeks. It is the best season he has had. Compare the numbers. He has never started a season better. He's got 5 home runs. He's nearly batting .400, for God's sake. He's got an OPS that's nearly .1200. He is crushing it right now. Altuve is always the leader for this team, and there's always this weird thing like, well, he doesn't like toggle. Shut up.
Yeah.
Stop. You don't need to. With this team, it is all about example. It does not matter. When you've put this thing together for as long as they have, it has nothing to do with what you effing say. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about?
Yeah, because he's not Kevin Garnett, that we don't think he's a great leader. Like, if this team doesn't have enough leadership on it when they have Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, and Justin Verlander on the roster, I'm sorry, that's on those guys.
But this is what people have been trying to preach since the minute Correa walked out the door, because Carlos Correa wasn't afraid to yell at Framber Valdez when he was having a mental breakdown on the mound. Like that's the reality of it. Like, since Correa left, leadership and who's going to do mound visits and all that nonsense has been this weird talking point within the Houston Astros, like, fan base and media view, when it's like,
yeah, well, you need a slap on the ass? Come on.
Like, sorry, Jose Altuve. And I think the reason why it goes back to the press conference of how uncomfortable Jose Altuve looked in 2020, standing up there in front of the media, him and Alex Bregman both. And I think it gives people outside the organization this weird vibe that those two guys lack leadership, because in the moment, they were nervous.
Understandably
so.
Exactly. 100%.
Basically having to be the faces of a cheating scandal.
Especially when one of them literally didn't cheat. So one did, one didn't. But I think that's why everyone questions leadership with the Astros, because of that moment.
Lost Marwin Gonzalez from the 17 team.
So they brought that up, and they also brought the depletion of the farm system too. Rosenthal did in reasons why the Astros' path for an 8th straight ALCS appears problematic, which is a weird way to describe it.
It's not
problematic like that.
When I saw the headline, I was kind of confused with the article.
Is Ken Rosenthal canceling the Astros?
Oh, great. Do we have
it sounds like it.
We have a sexual harassment scandal on our hands. God.
Did they hire Brandon Taubman again?
Is P. Diddy an Astros fan now, too, or something? Like 50 Cent? But the other points, and you laid them all out, I think all of them were fair criticisms. And of course, the one that we didn't mention, but we've talked about earlier, signing Michael Brantley, signing Rafael Montero, signing Jose Abreu. Those were all deals that happened after James Click. And for all those people who got annoyed with the many, I can't believe the Astros would treat James Click this way. And there was a lot of that. People were directing that specifically at Chandler Rome, among others. Okay, well, maybe keep the same energy when the guy that's there instead of James Click, who you might not have been the biggest fan of and who might not have been the biggest fan of here, at least at the same time, let's have the same energy for those disastrous contracts. All of them were terrible. Yeah. All of them. The Brantley one is the stupidest one, which is crazy.
And the guy who signed it was, he might not have actually signed it, but the guy who had a big voice in that room for that offseason was Jeff Bagwell, mm-hmm. who then said, yeah, he'll be ready for opening day, and then he didn't play until August.
He played 15 games.
Like, that, him being in the decision-making role and not knowing that he, instead of being ready for opening day, was going to miss the first 5 months of the season.
They literally had him on the roster and could have looked at his shoulder because he is an employee of the Astros. Montero, okay, 1 year, he looked good. Jose Abreu, he wasn't here.
Back of the baseball card.
Brantley, what are you... What was that? I don't understand it. It was a one-year deal. It wasn't like it killed them for years, but why did they think he was going to be fine?
It's a great question.
Yeah, it's also like, did Rosenthal lump that in the article?
Yeah, because he talks about, because he uses it kind of
as an example.
Well, and like the luxury tax stuff is like, okay, you made these bad contract decisions where Montero.
I was going to say, they literally made the ALCS last year with Brantley on the team, so that's not a reason that they can't make the ALCS, but I get it. As far as the luxury tax stuff, I get that.
Yeah, the farm system one, I don't know if it's a reach because...
Well, who's going to help him this year? Who was going to help him? Of the guys who were on the roster, that's why I pushed back on it, Joe.
Yeah.
The guys that they brought up were the ones that were used in the trade for Justin Verlander, whose names I already forget.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they will be good. What, Ryan Clifford wasn't even the good player.
Clifford and Gilbert were the...
Yes.
Drew Gilbert,
right. Okay. I mean, it would be nice to have guys in the farm system, I guess, but who are they replacing with the way that this lineup is currently constructed? You know? Like, I guess maybe Jake Myers or Jose Abreu. Like, that's it.
Yeah, the farm system one feels like more of a, this is why they won't make the 2025-2026 ALCS.
Yeah, not this
and not
season.
The 20. That's why the streak isn't in danger because of this. The streak is in danger because Hunter Brown and Spencer Arrighetti have not been what people thought they were 2 months ago.
What if they got Bryce Matthews right and he's your Alex Bregman replacement? Then your farm system's fine. This team is so good. You don't need seven prospects.
It's a big what if.
You're not the Pirates.
Big what if.
It is. No, it's a big
what
if.
But all these guys are what if. Like the number two, whatever the number one, number two ranked farm system is, that's a lot of what
ifs.
No one thought Jerry Pena was going
to
be any good.
I do think, though, it is fair to wonder about, to what you were saying, 25, 26.
But this
article should be about the right now, okay?
And it's also early to write the article right now.
It is very early. They know it'll get clicks.
It definitely came out a little
20
late.
20 minutes of talking. Man.
People don't want to talk about how Chandler Rome had an article about Jose Altuve's awesome start, but they want to talk about Ken Rosenthal. My guy, Chandler. Chandler holding up a fist right now.
People really don't like Chandler. I don't really get why. I just don't get it.
I never have understood.
I think they just want to hate to hate for a lot of reasons.
Why are you mad at him? You
need to get the knives at someone so Chandler can catch it.
Yeah.
The Twitter account can catch it.
Twitter account, man. It's still catching it. Every tweet I see, like every time the Astros score runs, it's like I'm going to tweet like the admin. Seven runs, seven innings with a winky face. And people do not like the new admin. That does not seem to be going away.
Yeah, she got doxxed.
Yeah, that sucked. But that doesn't surprise me. All right, Devontae Smith today. Devonta Smith from the Philadelphia Eagles. Got a 3-year, $75 million contract. $51 million guaranteed. Is Nico Collins on that level of a player to where you want to give him that sort of a deal? That's next year on Glatt and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at the Highway Cantina. Guess what, guys? When you take a look at the menu, there's nobody on that menu that's going to disappoint you. Like, I don't know, some of the guys that a certain former Houston Astro may have co-signed. They got 975 tall Texan margaritas. These things are amazing. On top of that, they have all sorts of drinks, and it's right by the ballpark on St. Emmanuel Street. If you're going to be down there, why not? Go down, have some food before, walk on over to the stadium, or maybe you work in downtown or want to impress the boss for a happy hour. It's the Highway Cantina. It is an awesome place, and guess what? You're going to get to see it with us on Wednesday. I can't wait to show you guys this place. From the chips and the salsa to the margaritas and an amazing array of dishes like wood-fired oysters, standard fajitas, all sorts of amazing stuff. It's at the Highway Cantina, and we're going to be there on Wednesday. Tell them Paul Gallant sent you.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. So Devonta Smith from the Philadelphia Eagles got a 3-year, $75 million contract today. 51 guaranteed. It ties him for the as the fourth highest paid wide receiver in the NFL with his teammate, A.J. Brown. So if A.J. Brown had an issue with targets that he was sharing with Devonta Smith, now he's probably going to be upset that they make the same amount of money. But it's a good deal for the Eagles. How far away is Nico Collins, in your mind, from Devonta Smith as a player?
I don't think there's that much separation, even though they are entirely different.
Yeah, yeah.
Smith is a great route runner. And Smith also has, as you mentioned before, a guy lined up across from him in A.J. Brown that makes his job significantly easier. It's not to say that Smith wouldn't be Smith without A.J. Brown. With Smith, I feel like there are some receivers who are like him from this perspective, skills-wise. Smaller-bodied guys who are good at getting open and have pretty reliable hands. Mm-hmm. Nico Collins is unique from this perspective. He's 6'4". He has the speed to run past an entire defense on just a go route. And when he has the ball in his hands, he is not only sneakily elusive considering his size, he runs with power, and there are very few defensive backs that are going to be able to stop his forward progress when they try to tackle him. So, long way of answering your question, they're two completely different players, but I also think that Nico Collins, if he can replicate what he did last year, which I suppose isn't if, Collins is in the same conversation. This is a guy that you look at and you're like, I'm not sure I'm going to put him as a number one wide receiver on an all-pro team. He's not going to be the top 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10 at the end of the year. But you definitely respect the player, and there's a lot of teams in the league that would kill to have just one wide receiver like that.
Yeah, I that's how I view him, too. He's just outside that group, at least it looks like, as one of the elite wide receivers. He's not in the Chase, A.J. Brown, Jefferson, Tyreek conversation. But Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, that group, I do think he's going to belong in. Now, the contract stuff, he's going to make that much money, I would imagine. Or he'll be close.
These contracts just get bigger and bigger. If we get into the back and forth over, well, what is he actually worth? No, he's worth more than the guy who got paid before him. Because that's just how it always gets done. I suppose if there was another wide receiver who signed a deal this offseason that I would look at and say, this guy is similar to Nico Collins. It's in the AFC South. It's Michael Pittman with the Colts. Also a 6'4" wide receiver who got a 3-year, $70 million deal after they gave him the franchise tag.
And that, I'd be good with that.
They're very similar players from the size perspective.
Yeah.
So I think Collins is faster.
Now, if Nico takes a step back with having, statistically, his numbers are probably going to go down a little bit, you would just imagine, with Diggs being out there, Tank, Schultz, Joe Mixon even in the backfield. There's going to be so many targets to go around that I think the numbers themselves will not look as you know, sexy on paper for Nico. But I don't think I have any doubt that this was for real. I know it was one season, but he was a solid player with very bad quarterback play. And then seeing what he did in year one of CJ Stroud, I do have confidence that he can be that guy on a consistent basis this year with Diggs as his teammate, and then presumably after that when Diggs is gone. So I'm not concerned about the player and the output that he'll have in his career.
Stroud's going to make him better.
Yeah.
That's the other interesting twist, because you should feel like you have the ability to replace these guys when you have a quarterback that is that good. And maybe the Eagles sign someone like Devonta Smith because they have their own questions about just how good Jalen Hurts is as a quarterback, because as a passer, there are still questions. Are they all fair? I'm sure some of them aren't, but last year, he took a step back after an incredible MVP season the year before.
Now, wide receivers are always like, feels like the center of the world. If it's not quarterbacks, it's wide receivers in the NFL. Adam Schefter just tweeted out that along with CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson will not be present. Now, it's voluntary, but neither of these wide receivers will be at their offseason workouts for the Vikings and for the Cowboys because they're both expecting to get paid, which is not surprising.
Oh, so
to say the least, so but it's
are you
start.
Trying to are you reading the tea leaves? Because yeah, you have Stephon Diggs, you have Tank Dell, you have some weird streamer who's stealing valor.
Sketches like the most viral person on the planet right now.
I can't believe that the that's a touchdown brother is viral. I've no idea.
The kids love it.
Well, the kids. There's a low bar, I'm assuming.
All the people do it. They're doing the dance thing motions on sports.
Whatever.
That's because the kids.
Forget the kid.
You brought him up.
Yes. Paul hates the kids.
I hate Bleep that this kid is successful. Yes, I hate that he's successful. I'm 100% a hater, and I'm jealous. I don't care.
That's a touchdown, brother.
What? That's original.
He did one.
I have no desire
you said,
to watch.
You said enough about the kid.
I saw one this weekend where he scored a touchdown in Madden, and then he got off his chair and he walked to other chairs and. He pretended to pee like a dog. And I was like, this is famous? Okay.
That sounds pretty funny. I laughed.
I laughed too, but I was like,
I
missed the boat.
I have been in too many threads discussing this guy and whether or not he's actually someone with some sort of mental illness or mental impairment. And nope, it's a character. And the funny thing is, no one's jumping on him for the character. They're just like, but he's so funny. And whatever. Sorry.
The streamers have different rules.
I took us down this road. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, John Metchie.
The streamer.
Shut up. It's my own fault. They're all out there working out. Do you think it's possible that Nico Collins is, in a way, already doing it?
Yes.
Just throwing it out there. I honestly, I have no idea. It's reckless speculation. I am curious that he wasn't there.
I mean, with a wide receiver, I would never say no because you just never. There are the biggest divas on the planet.
I would say it's a little bit different than like reporting with your team, than you know, hanging out with CJ Stroud and Tank Dell and someone else who will remain nameless, not Stephon Diggs, John Metchie. There is something different when it is like I am going, you know, basically back to work without a contract that I want. So there's a slight difference. I don't know when the Texans voluntary minicamp is, but that
there should be soon.
That is something to keep an eye on when they do start reporting. Does Nico Collins show up?
Yeah, theirs will be very soon since they have that extra preseason game. So Texans
they should be first in line of all this. Yeah,
their season's right around the corner. They're not the only wide receivers in the news though. T. Higgins basically has admitted he's going to be a Bengal this year. Doesn't seem thrilled about it. Requested a trade. It's been denied.
He did say he's looking forward to the season. So at the very least, there's that.
Cool.
But
love that.
It's hard to believe that somebody who requested a trade
like 3 weeks ago
is that excited for it. Here's what he probably realized is that the Bengals almost never trade players. Obviously, the Joe Mixon trade is a bit of an exception, but they were about to cut him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's stuck.
On both sides, this does seem like a little bit of like a, hey, go out there, ball out, try to win a Super Bowl, and then get paid. Like, from someone else, not the Bengals.
Because they're like, you can pay to, like, what the Eagles did is seems to be unprecedented so far with having two wide receivers making $25 million, and their quarterback has been paid at all. Yeah,
and their running back's going to get paid.
Like they're a pricey team, but you can't pay Higgins and Chase.
And Burrow.
That seems unrealistic.
You shouldn't.
Yeah, it's not, not fiscally responsible. Shout out to Reggie Jackson. Maybe they have Reggie Jackson consulting with them, too.
Well, you know, also, like, if Joe Burrow is Joe Burrow, you don't need to pay both of them.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're talking about with CJ Stroud, too.
I totally agree. That's why I was always saying, like, listen, you can get Diggs, and you're better with Diggs, but you don't need Diggs.
Yeah, you don't need Diggs long-term. Short-term is fun.
Definitely.
Next year's going to be awesome. But I'm not worried about after that.
It's going to be such a great team to play Madden on.
Just can't wait.
Might start streaming.
Let's do it.
I'd rather watch you guys stream.
Come up with some catchphrases. Dude.
I would rather watch you guys stream.
Start fake peeing on furniture.
I do think that we will, if we can figure out the technology with this place, like, I don't know.
As long as it's competing with that kid.
That's a touchdown, cool. Brother.
I think we have to do a dynasty league with NCAA. There's so many of us here that play it. I think we have to stream
it. Because certain people will abuse it and it won't feel realistic and I won't like it. I want to have a realistic football experience.
What does that mean?
I want to be a football sim.
He's had his feelings hurt before.
I haven't had feelings hurt. I've just been in leagues where people are doing things where they're trading like four tight ends for a quarterback.
No, we're playing college.
And it works.
That's why we'll do college football. You can't trade
the college
players.
One? Okay.
Yeah, NCAA. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know how the NIL is going to work in that game.
Okay.
But like, I mean, if you just like put in your credentials, be like, rich kid from Boston. Like, my sister's a doctor. Like, your NIL should be pretty good.
I suppose so.
Defensive back.
I am curious as to how the NIL will work. I doubt that they will actually have it, honestly, the more I think about it.
I kind of think they have to.
I think it'll probably be like the recruiting used to be. Where
you'll
like,
have X amount of dollars.
Yeah, you can throw points at a player and like...
I can't. I don't think I can do it.
That game, I'm worried about the...
NIL like, or all, you can't do a league with
I'm
us?
Worried that I'm addicted to video games. I played Fallout New Vegas yesterday for 13 hours straight.
Jesus.
Yes. You know, Sean, you know that I have...
I didn't know that.
You know I have my video game issues where, like, if I play one, it's like, oh, okay, whole day's gone by. Great. So, no. I'm getting out.
Straight out.
Getting out on that. Stop. Okay.
Did Arya think you were dead at some point?
She came over,
start
hung out.
Nibbling on your toe.
She came over, hung out. She sat down next to me. But anyway, yes, the Texans should be good as a video game team this coming season.
Brandon Ayuk unfollowed the 49ers on Instagram.
Ooh.
If you ever followed them, no one actually ever knows that. They never have the before and after. They just have the after when they assume it happened. But he no longer follows the team.
And he reportedly requested a trade, but his agent said, actually, no, he didn't. Get your sources right. So, Brandon Ayuk, not following the 49ers on social media. Can't believe that we follow this. But yeah. He's not requesting a trade, unlike T. Higgins.
Now, this story's weird because it gets convoluted because you have someone like Benjamin Albright, who's a well-known reporter, NFL insider, whatever you want to call him. And he speculated... that or said that the Pittsburgh Steelers want to add Brandon Ayuk, but he's just stating that as a fact, right?
Yeah.
He's just saying they want Brandon Ayuk to add with Russell Wilson.
A lot of teams could want him.
Yeah. He's not saying that they're talking about it. So now this one I don't think is going to play out the Higgins way. I think Ayuk will get traded on draft day.
Mm.
I think it'll be like the A.J. Brown deal.
Interesting.
Traded for the 15th pick or something.
Yeah. And then the 49ers draft a new wide receiver, and Brandon Ayuk goes to a new team and gets a new contract. That one seems more logical than Higgins getting traded.
I'm with you there. And, to bring it back to Nico Collins for a moment, the interesting thing with those two compared to Nico Collins, and I think maybe the reasons that there are at least some air of diva tendencies with both of them, definitely more with Ayuk and the unfollowing. Higgins seems to be realizing, well, all right, listen, I'm going to make the most of this coming season. I think the fact that Collins has only had one good year in the NFL is actually, in a way, a check for himself on his own ego. He played awesome this past season, but I think for him, he's obviously believed in himself to this point, but I bet even Nico Collins was surprised with just how successful he was last year. Nothing against him. I mean, it was an incredible, out of nowhere kind of year that we were all hoping for last year with Davis Mills. And I'm sure that he definitely feels very confident in himself going forward. But at least right now, I do not get the impression, just based off of having a microphone in front of Nico Collins' face and speaking with him a few times over the course of the past year, I don't get the impression that things are going to get messy between him and the Texans between now and the start of the year if he doesn't have a new deal.
He also, because he only has one the super productive year under his belt, that maybe he doesn't want to get paid off of I've been good for 1 year. Maybe he would rather be like, you know what, let me get 2,000-yard receiving, what do you have, like 8 touchdowns last year, 7, 8 touchdowns? Let's do that again And then I can get some of this, you know, no doubt about it, wide receiver one money, as opposed to right now where we're looking at the Devontae Smith deal and going, can he get something like the Devontae Smith deal?
Yeah. Yeah, I would always rather bet on myself. Like, because what's the... You're still going to get paid at some point.
Well, there's
right?
also the case of the first 2 years he didn't have good years, but he didn't have C.J. Stroud. His yeah. only year was C.J. Stroud, he balled out.
And then, O.J. Simpson. On his way out, made all of his kids, including the two kids he had with Nicole Brown Simpson, sign NDAs to come visit him. Which isn't too surprising when you look back at his Twitter account, if you feel like it, when he like joked and told people that they were wrong, that he was going to be in like hospice. And
oh, he was lying? Wow.
So, yeah, lying till the day he died. But he made his kids sign NDAs to come see him because he didn't want to get out, I guess.
What did he not want to get out?
That he was dying?
What could he have ever not wanted to be public knowledge?
I think there's any chance we find out in like a couple weeks that there was like a deathbed confession.
No, because they signed NDA.
Okay, but he died. So what does that do? Like if he told Nicole Brown Simpson's kids and his two kids that he had with her, like, hey, I did it. Like, what's stopping them? He's dead.
Inheritance, probably.
Of what?
Well, what do you mean of what?
Well, everything that he has is going to the Goldman family. Now, one of his kids has said that they're going to do everything they can to stop that.
Boom.
Which, like, good luck.
Oh, I thought that was his agent who said
that. Oh, was it his agent who said
that? Agent or lawyer.
Oh, maybe you're right.
Like,
maybe
yeah, I don't
agent.
Think it was one of the kids. But whatever the case.
His dying wish is to not pay the Goldman family.
That's what it seemed like his dying wish was based off of this article. Yeah, if he were to have confessed on his deathbed to the children of the person that he murdered, that is one of the most messed up things, most selfish things that anyone could do. And I don't know what happened there, but especially if you're making them sign an NDA to come in and to leave that with them, you should lie before you cloak there.
You should tell the other kids, the ones you didn't have with like those are the two people that you should tell the least amount.
100%. Because maybe, I don't know, maybe they do believe him. I truly do not know.
Yeah, the fact they're there is actually kind of
pretty crazy.
I saw that too. I was with this kids. I'm like, okay. And then you see that it's like the kicker. It's like, the ones he had with Nicole. I'm like, oh, okay. And apparently him and Norm MacDonald reconciled. Why?
That's nice.
Like, Norm felt bad?
Apparently Norm had a little softer approach with one of his jokes. And we know he's very deadpan, so you almost never know what he's saying in any of his jokes. But I guess OJ reached out to him after this joke that he made. I think it was on with David Spade, and I guess they talked. I think OJ invited him out to a round of golf. I doubt that Norm went to the round of golf. Could be wrong. I think this was when Norm was first in remission from cancer back in 2019.
Okay. Yeah, he made so many jokes. I don't know if I'm voluntarily going to that.
But if you're Norm MacDonald, it's like, I mean, isn't this what normally comedians do? Like, when people get their feelings hurt, when you make jokes about them, you go, well, it's just jokes.
Yeah, that's true.
My job is to make jokes. So, like, it's not like Norm MacDonald actually hates O.J. Simpson. Or we don't know that O.J. Simpson, or that Norm actually hated O.J. Simpson. It could just been, hey, this is hilarious material. It's also something that makes people uncomfortable.
It was very funny. After we played a little bit of the audio on Thursday or Friday, I watched the whole SNL.
Like, super cut?
Like, it was like 15 minutes. And there's so many where, like, you can tell the audience is just wildly uncomfortable.
Yeah, and that probably gave Norm MacDonald more of a, like, I'm going to tell another one next week, too.
All right, so this weekend, one of the things that I would never, ever, ever want to go to happened. It was Coachella. Would you ever want to go? Plus, J.J. Watt went viral, and a Dodgers fan. He pulled the ultimate wise man move I think you can make at a baseball game. We'll get all that next year on Glatt and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
WhatsHappened.com. The
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Coachella was this weekend.
Coachella. I'd much rather go to that than the Masters.
I was going to say, is that your speed?
Yes.
Living outside, no showers.
Choice. Yeah.
It's
not that as much as it's... Because this isn't like Burning Man. There are places that you can stay at. It's just an all-day festival.
Yeah.
With the best musical acts in the world. I'm not the biggest music person. I literally just want to go so I can see hot chicks. I mean, that's really it.
I like how you led with best musical acts in the world.
Supposedly. I wouldn't know.
Who performed this weekend?
Someone told me someone named Lana Del Rey didn't. She did like a strip tease and she was on a pole. Okay. So that's fun. I don't.
Sounds Paul speed.
But no, it's all, I mean, people go there and they're basically like wearing rave clothing and stuff. Yeah, it's a good old time. Free love, man. Free love. It's something that I've always wanted to do. If I had to pick between the Masters and some stuffy wasp place where apparently there's pimento cheese sandwiches and I can't use my cell phone for 4 days, or Coachella, take a Coachella every time.
Hmm.
You get surprised by some of the musical acts. Now, I don't know who any of them are, but again,
it'd be a big surprise to you.
Yeah, it's all a surprise. I do like concerts and festivals. I just don't know anybody. I'm just like, oh, this is cool.
I'm just... Yeah,
that's loud music.
Hell that's, yeah, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't feel like that's really your thing. I don't know why.
Why not?
I don't know. I know there's hot chicks there.
That's it.
But there's also going to be like a lot of not hot chicks there.
Oh, your boy DJ Snake performed. I'm just looking at who performed this
year.
What is
a DJ Snake?
I've been to a DJ Snake performance.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at Clay.
Where's that?
It's a club.
Oh, it makes me feel old.
Downtown Houston. It's fine. It's the place. It's not the best.
No.
But, hey, there was a pool party there, and I was there, and DJ Snake was there.
Okay.
It's a good old time.
Yeah, Coachella's not my. It wouldn't be for me. I just couldn't. I don't know. I like music. I don't like it's the crowds. Like, I don't want to have to get stuck. I tried Lollapalooza in Chicago. But, like, to get a good spot, like, you have to get up to the front very early. And then once you're there, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah.
Like, you can't really leave.
You don't want to get the close-up spots for the big act. I don't think you need to do that. Because this isn't like you're at NRG Stadium where the acoustics are all completely screwed up for the rodeo or something like that. And your seats are barely going to be able to see anything. At this place, you're going to be able to see what's going on the stage, usually with some sort of big jumbo television that's on that stage. If there's someone that you really like, that's worthwhile to get up there quick or really close, especially if they're sort of off the beat. But, nah, man, these are fun. Great time.
What is your version of J.J. Watt's diaper that he had in his back pocket? Do you have something that, like, you always got to keep it handy?
You're just always prepped for?
Yeah, you're always prepped for.
This is a loaded question.
No,
do you know the answer to this?
Yeah, condom. That's not what I meant, but... As soon as I started
saying... Got some on me right now.
As soon as I started saying it, I was like, there's really no other answer to give, I guess.
Always got to stay strapped.
Yeah.
I keep a lot of napkins in my car.
That's a good
Same
one.
Same thing.
That's a good one.
Yeah, so many napkins to where that's a mess, but I always, you know, if I have napkins left over from like a drive-thru, I'm like, in case there's a mess.
Sure.
And now the mess is the amount of napkins.
I was thinking flask at a wedding. I've done that before. Just because, you know, you never know when they're going to stop serving alcohol.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
I mean, flask in a college sporting event.
That's another good one.
In the days where there were no alcohol to be found.
Or in the days where you're 19.
That too.
Where it didn't really matter.
The best part about going to games at Syracuse was everyone was so bundled up for the basketball games because of how cold it was. So you could be wearing... You could be wearing like six flasks. They're not going to stop
you. You could have the bar in your
jacket.
Yeah,
pretty much. You could bring an effing handle. Just shove it in
your
pocket.
That is true. I never even considered the how bundled up you guys were.
The one good thing was, though, that you could buy alcohol in the stadiums if you were there. Flask is a good one for a lot of different spots. I've taken a flask skiing before. I have taken a flask to a yes, Syracuse basketball game before. Okay. I'm trying to think of other things that
movie
are on
the theater.
No, I've never done that. I have snuck snacks into the movie theater, though.
I've never snuck booze in, but like
I always felt like I would get caught doing it at the movie theater.
That is like a step farther than like a pocket full of Skittles.
Which is funny because there's less security at the movie theater than there is at the stadium.
So little. You can walk with your pants bulging with M&M's with M&M's wrappers, not with the other things, Pee Wee Herman. But you can walk in there with whatever you want, and that 16-year-old is not going to be a hero and be like, sir, what's in your pocket?
You guys go to the bars there at like movie theaters?
I cannot stand – or not cannot stand. I've been to like those type of ones. I don't like it. I don't like having a meal.
The place where we went to, Sean, the Regal Marquee? Theater at Marquee, they have a bar now on the way in. So you can go get a drink on the way in.
I was thinking more of the places that like serve you. Yeah, where you can order like a full pizza that like at your seat.
Yeah,
get out of here. With
no,
that.
But
I'm here to watch Dune 2, buddy.
But it's good food.
I'm taking notes.
Some of these places, some of them is really good food. I love IPEC.
No, that is fair. And again, the one time I went, my issue was not with the quality of food. It was just also eating in the dark is kind of weird. I don't know. Felt like I had a lot of.
They're gonna make a mess.
Yeah, I had a lot of crumbs all over my lap when I got up.
Yeah, but the real problem, like it's almost like going to a ballpark. Sometimes the prices at the bars that you can walk up to, it's so expensive.
That's why you go to the highway canteen.
Yeah, I don't feel like
pregame before Godzilla versus King Kong.
Yeah,
what's the next fast one that's coming out? Is it 11?
11? It'll be 11. They haven't announced the title yet, so it could be Fast XI. Could be.
Roman numerals are a little confusing. I am glad that we moved away from those in the NFL. We're done with them, right?
No.
I thought we just gave up on the Roman numerals.
No.
I thought this was the first
Super Bowl
year.
Last year had one.
I know Tom Brady's not in the Super Bowl anymore, but like
they've had the Roman numeral.
I thought they got rid of it.
No.
It's always confusing. At this point, like once we got past 50, I'm like.
So they didn't do one for 50 because that would just been L. And so instead, they're like, let's just make it a gold 50.
Okay.
Then 51 went right back to it. It was L.I. It was right here, down the street.
That's true. That was L.I. Well, they should go back to just the numbers.
They should. I'm with you.
We're at a point now where I'm like, wait, what? What the hell is that? So it's L.X.? Is there one for 60?
L.I.X.
What happens when we get to 80? I don't know.
I will say, like, when I look at the Roman numerals, I'm like, I don't know what Super Bowl it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, if I didn't know,
the Roman numerals is why I know the Super Bowls by, like, what year, like, what season it was, rather than what number. Like, if you say, like, whatever, Super Bowl 36, I'm like, I don't know. But if you go, oh, yeah, it was 03, I'm like, okay. Patriots, Panthers? Yeah.
That was a good one.
Also in Houston.
Also, that's why I chose it.
Yeah. All right. Jose Altuve. He's on a heater to start the season. We didn't give him like any MVP love at the start of the year, but he is absolutely crushing the baseball to start the year. And we kind of mentioned this a little bit earlier, but can the Astros just get a little something from their guys that we like to see of not giving up 10 runs or 8 runs in one inning? We'll get to that next year on Glanton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Before we do that, I want to tell you about my friends at O Athletics. 767 North Shepherd is where you can go and get a workout in today, tomorrow, whenever you want to sign up. But when you do, make sure you tell them that I send you by. You go to oathletic.com. Over 100 classes per week, personal training sessions. So if you want to gain weight or gain muscle mass, lose weight, just lean up a little bit before the summer really gets here, before it gets 110 degrees outside like it feels in the studio right now, O Athletic is a great place to do it. They have all different kinds of classes that you can sign up for, whether it's agility training, weight training, various different boxing, mixed martial arts, Brazilian jiu-jitsu classes. But I was there this morning, always a great place to go. And honestly, one of my favorite parts about it is they have all the recovery stuff you need. They have saunas, they have a steam room, they have the endless pool. And even on your way out, they have a nice little coffee bar and protein shake bar. You can grab something on your way out. So when you're going to want to get a workout in, O Athletic is the place for you because it's the place for me, and I absolutely love going there. OAthletic.com or check them out at 767 North Shepherd.